Planned Parenthood said that they want to help the communities, especially the black community, even though their founder, Margaret Sanger, said, and I'm paraphrasing them just a little bit, colored people are like weeds that need to be exterminated.
When we hold to the good, godly distinctions between men and women in Scripture, it should be no surprise to us that in the same way that preaching the Word of God clearly makes us isolated from all the rest of the world.
The one who forgave you all your sins with his blood, he is not abandoning you to the grave. No, he's not going to forget you. He's made you his own.
I'm Vicky.
And I'm Ron from Ontario, Canada.
Confessional Lutherans who play in German polka bands, love, issues, etc.
Probably one of the most derisive words you can utter nowadays. We hear it in society all the time, and now we're beginning to hear it within the church as well, is patriarchy, almost uniformly understood to be a negative thing. Would it surprise you that, rightly understood, patriarchy is how the universe works, how God works, and how, according to God's wisdom, human relations and society and especially family are at least intended to work? We're coming up on Father's Day, and there'll probably be, dozens of op-ed pieces on the occasion of Father's Day that will somehow try to retain the shreds of dignity left by feminist society to fathers while soundly rejecting any idea of patriarchy. Well, maybe you can't have your cake and eat it too. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the vocation of father. Pastor Rolf Preuss will be our guest for the first part of this hour of Issues Etc. We'll discuss media coverage of the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention with Terry Mattingly. He is at pains to point out it's not a denomination, it's a convention, and that distinction is very important for understanding what is happening there in Dallas as we speak. Then it's listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line. That comment line is always open for you, 618-223-8382. And our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can call us during the next 2 hours with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, or send us a tweet at IssuesETC. Joining us to discuss the vocation of father and perhaps a little talk about patriarchy, Pastor Rolf Preuss. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney, Montana, and St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview, Montana. He is father of 12 children and a grandfather to 51 grandchildren. Rolf, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What's Father's Day like around your house with 12 children and 51 grandchildren?
Well, since the kids have all grown up and moved away, what it means is the telephone is ringing all day, which is great because I know that it's for me and I know it's one of my kids.
Let's start by talking about that word patriarchy. It has come to mean a lot of things, but almost all of them are considered not only by the world, but even by Christians within the church as negative. How would you correct our thinking on that word patriarchy?
I would go to the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, where Luther teaches us to say, what is our Father? Why do we say our Father? God would, by these words, tenderly invite us to believe that he is our dear Father, and that we are his dear children. He is tender, he's dear, he loves us. And when we think of our Father in heaven, we don't think of a misogynistic bully. We think of our Father who loves us so much he gave his only begotten Son. So I go back to the fatherhood of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who loves us, to put it in the proper context of what we mean by patriarchy.
You say that when we call God Father, we are not using a metaphor. What do you mean by that?
Well, I would say that it's a very good question, because the fatherhood of God is the source That's the foundation. He is Father from everlasting to everlasting. The Father begets the Son in eternity. So it's certainly not metaphorical to call God Father. He is Father. And that we who are fathers here on earth, we get our fatherhood from Him. It is a gift that He gives for the government of the families that we have.
But you also point out, Rolf, that there is no fatherhood of God without Jesus Christ. Why do we need to understand that, at least insofar as we can, the Trinity, to rightly understand what, how God is Father, not only to Christ, but also to us?
When you think of Jesus, you ask any child who's been raised in a Christian home, you think of Jesus, what did He do for you? And immediately, He died for me. He's my Savior. He is the one who takes away my sin. So when you think of the fatherhood of God, it is the Son who reveals Him as Father. Only those who know the Son know the Father. Well, how do you know the Son? You know the Son where He suffers and dies for you, bearing all your sin, taking it away, so that now you are a saint and you're not afraid of the God, the Father, but you run to Him as to a loving Father on account of Christ.
If you
take Christ out of it, then you don't have a loving Father anymore.
Do you see a relationship between the denigration of fathers in both society and the church and the loss of a Christian understanding of the Trinity?
I think so, absolutely, because they go together. I mean, you can have some kind of an abstract notion of the Trinity. You just say certain words, you know, and then we say, well, we don't understand it. We just say these words. But when you see how the Father, in sending the Son, and then the Son and Father and Son send the Spirit who reveals the Son, you see the way God Himself is reflected in how God acts toward us. And so when we denigrate fatherhood among us, then it's automatically going to end up skewing or somehow twisting our understanding of God.
Someone might immediately ask, does that mean you were saying that God is male in the sense that human fathers are male?
No, I mean, you know, He made them. He created them. And then after Moses says He created them, male and female, He created them. So maleness and femaleness is of creation, but God is uncreated. And so you don't assign a sex to Him the way you would in a created being. But He is Father, but He is a Spirit, and as such, you don't get into the, you know, you wouldn't assign to Him a male sex or gender.
It seems to me that's kind of reading the entire thing. As you point out, God is the one who creates these things. He's the origin. We wouldn't want to read human maleness or even human fathers back into God, but perhaps even the other way around.
Exactly. Keep the order straight, and then you understand fatherhood from the fatherhood of God. And that way you're going to have a clearer context within which to look at it.
With all of that said, Scripture does employ similes about God. God is Father, but they also employ similes about the fatherhood of God in order to teach us.
Mm-hmm.
Could
yeah.
you give us some examples?
Well, it says what God is like. And then it would compare God to various things, different words that are used, metaphors and similes like a shepherd, rock, different terms that refer to things in nature that we associate certain attributes with, and it's simply a way of describing God's qualities or attributes by using words that refer to, you know, familiar things. And that's normal in any kind of communication. We're constantly using similes and metaphors to describe just about anything. But in God's case, when we say Father, That's the biblical term for who God is. He is Father, He is Son, He is Holy Spirit.
Turning back to that notion, the feminist notion of patriarchy, feminism, as you point out, views patriarchy as inherently exploitive, abusive, denigrating to women. How would you correct feminism's caricature of patriarchy?
I would point out, first of all, that feminism is a political creed. It is, now it has theological or religious implications and overtones, but it's basically a political creed. And it comes out of a kind of a political system where the state exists to impose an ideal solution to things in the world. Whereas the Christian view, the biblical view of fatherhood, it's not an ideology. It's just a way of life. It is that the father, he serves his wife just as Christ, the Son of the Father, serves his church. That the Christian father takes his cue from Jesus, and he sees how Jesus exercises headship. And he does it by humbling himself and redeeming us. So I think the way the father treats his wife is a huge part of the way he treats his children. And in that way, it is an attempt to reflect the love that Christ has for his church and to exercise leadership according to that model.
We're going to talk more about that very model, and the gospel is the foundation of Christian fatherhood on the other side of the break. We're talking about the vocation of fatherhood on this Wednesday, June 13th. Pastor Rolf Preuss is our guest, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney, Montana, and St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview, Montana. He is father of 12 children and grandfather to 51. We'll be right back.
How I'd love, love to dance with my father again.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor. And today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armedforces. The LCMS ministry to the armed forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
LCMS National Housing Corporation is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During June, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to LCMS National Housing Corporation. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These 6 engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholes. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
Father knows best. Father knows best. If he hadn't been looking out for me, I'd be in such a mess.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the vocation of Father. Pastor Rolf Preuss is our guest. Pastor Preuss, let's talk about the gospel foundation of Christian fatherhood. There are several distinctions that Lutheran theology make. First of all, speak of this subject in terms of that distinction between God's two kingdoms, in which God as Father rules over all men and the church in particular.
Well, the kingdom of God's left hand, civil authority, that, of course, relies on coercion, ultimately, force. It's the law. Then the kingdom of God's right hand is the spiritual authority, which is the authority to forgive sins, the authority of God's grace, that's the gospel. And, of course, the Christian father has both the He straddles both kingdoms. He has a authority according to the law. He is responsible for the conduct of his family, and he's also the pastor of his family. God wants him to teach the word of God to his children, and so teaching your children the word of God at home regularly is critical to the exercise of your office as father, and then it'll teach the children also that the gospel foundation of the family, marriage, everything, when they hear their dad teach them about Jesus at home.
What is the danger of a Christian father kind of choosing one or the other, or one over the other, that he says, in effect, either, well, my authority here as Christian father is merely civil authority. Or, on the other hand, he might say, and I think there are probably a lot of Christian fathers who may do this, well, my authority here in the family is merely spiritual authority. I'm here simply here to absolve my children, or something along those lines.
Well, I think it's what will happen is that the two serve each other. And of course, if home is chaotic, if you cannot manage the home so that there is order in the family, then of course there's just no environment for learning anything at all. And so they are going to learn how to treat their neighbor, how to live as citizens, how to live in the world. By the way, you know, by learning at home to respect the authority of their father. So that's essential. But if the father isn't teaching them the gospel, if they have to leave home to hear the gospel, that's just tragic for the child. If he learns at home about Christ from the father, then he sees this as something that is important to his life, not just as a child, but also when he or she grow up to be men and women, because it has been given to them in the home. If you send them away for all of the religious instruction, then they no longer have that foundation where God placed it.
So Christian fatherhood joins together both civil and spiritual authority.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, you could say in the beginning, the family was there before the church or the state was there. And I think that ignoring the domestic estate has been, you know, we're paying the piper on that today. You know, farming out the kids for other people to take care of instead of at the home. And then, you know, assuming, well, that's why we have Sunday school, that's why we have parochial school. It's their job to teach God's word to the kids. It is mom and dad's job, and the dad is to be the leader.
Do you think part of the problem, Rolf, is that given the way we've structured our lives nowadays, not all people, but to a large degree, the need for both parents to work outside the home in many cases, we have left little time. It's just almost a practical problem. We've left little time for either father or mother to accomplish much in their time with their children. They get them for maybe the evening meal and an hour or two of hurried homework and then off to bed, only to start again the next day.
Well, I'm sure that's true. I think that we are we're caught in this fast moving situation where I don't think moms and dads know how to get off of this fast treadmill. I mean, just do we need all the things that we think we have to spend money on? Do we need to make as much money as we think we need? If we valued the simpler things and the more precious things, speaking as a guy who's raised his kids, and now I'm seeing my grandchildren grow up, and I look back and I look at what true wealth is. I always knew it. But when you're getting older and you see all of your kids loving the gospel and you think to yourself, thank God, here is a treasure, and this treasure will outlive me. And when I'm dead, all the stuff I saved up for and worked for, it's going to rot, it's going to be lost, but the children God gives you. I had a parishioner years ago who would say, Pastor, our kids are the only gift God gives us that we can take to heaven with us. And I've never forgotten that. I thought that was a very profound statement.
You say that every Christian home is a theocracy. That's another word that gets a lot of negative press nowadays. How is that?
Because God rules, and he rules through father and mother. And people use the word theocracy as some kind of a, I don't know, what are they talking about? The Puritans, or maybe even something worse like some Islamic state or something like that. Well, theos is simply the Greek word for God. God rules. And if we're a Christian home, who should be ruling the home but God himself? And he does so through means, just as he calls pastors to preach in the church, and he establishes the government that we're to submit to. The most basic form of care through human beings that he has provided for his people is the family, is the home with fathers and mothers.
If we rightly understand that word theocracy, then perhaps we'll rightly understand what it is that not only fathers and mothers are intended to be doing there. I think it's Luther who constantly reminds parents that not only are their children gifts from God, but he reminds children that their parents are gifts from God as well.
That's right. That's right. You know, something on this that I would encourage any parents, who, especially parents with children, they're raising the kid, is to go to the Large Catechism and read the Fourth Commandment and just see what Luther says, how he develops that whole thing about honoring father and mother. And it's a wonderful, he had a tremendous understanding of this, which is just as applicable today as it was when he wrote it.
You mentioned something earlier, Rolf, about children sadly needing to leave the home to hear the gospel. And you say there is something about Christian instruction, the way that we have conducted Christian instruction with children, that have left them with the indelible impression that it's only for children, it's outside the home, and it is of no real practical, real-life value. How have we gotten to that point?
Well, I think we've taken something that is good, but we have twisted it into something that's not so good. If you read, if I can mention the Large Catechism again, and Luther talks about the schoolmaster, and he uses him, he says he is the assistant. He assists the father. He helps the father. Well, the point is that it is the father's responsibility, and he's asking the school to help him. Now, if we looked at parochial schools, you know, the Christian day school, Sunday school, and so forth, as assisting the parents, then you've got something good. But I think what happened is the parents got the idea, well, that's their responsibility. Well, yeah, because you've delegated it to them, but you haven't given it away. You're simply asking them to serve as your representative to assist you. But the responsibility never leaves the father and the mother. These are the children God gave you, and you cannot pass off this responsibility to anybody else. They can help you, but you are still primarily responsible.
You even go so far as to say that to neglect the instruction of your children in the home, in the nurture and admonition of God's word, is child neglect.
Absolutely. And I think any pastor, any parish pastor has seen this, you know. One of my favorite things to do as a pastor is to teach catechism to kids. And, you know, it's just a joy. It's a privilege. I tell the parents this all the time. But you'll get kids now and then that's just the only thing that they know is what you're teaching them. And it's just, you know, it's just heartbreaking. Bright kids wanting to learn, and there's just nothing they're getting except when you have them in class. And, yeah, I'd say that is neglecting kids. That's child neglect.
Pastor Rolf Preuss is our guest. We're talking about the vocation of father. And when we come back, a few practical suggestions about being the pastor in the home to Christian fathers. Pastor Preuss is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Sidney, Montana, St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview, Montana, and he's father of 12 children and 51 grandchildren. With so many religions in the world today, how can we know which, if any, is true? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Religion on Trial, Examining Religious Truth Claims. It's written by regular guest Craig Parton. Learn more about Religion on Trial at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Religion on Trial, by Craig Parton.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Basser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here, who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as the church always has. Risen Savior, Basser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
As the older I get, the more I can see how much he loved my mother and my brother and me, and it did.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the vocation of fathers. Pastor Rolf Preuss is our guest. Thanks to Pastor Mark Knuckles and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas, for recently renewing their membership in our Congregational Sponsorship Program, the Issues Etc. 300. When your Confessional Lutheran Church pledges $1,000 to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., we'll promote your congregation on the radio and podcast, in the Issues Etc. journal, and at our website. Many churches are planning their budgets for the new fiscal year on July 1st, so don't wait. The Issues Etc. 300, issuesetc.org, click support. Rolf, what suggestions, kind of practical, fatherly, pastoral suggestions would you give to a man listening to us who says, yes, I want to be the primary source of spiritual instruction and leadership in my family?
Well, you know, there's thinking about it and agreeing that it's a good idea, and then it's actually doing it. I just share with you my upbringing and the way we raised our kids is that you start dinner. At the end of dinner, you have devotions. And devotions, you recite the Ten Commandments. Sometimes we have the Creed. We always have the Lord's Prayer. Read a Bible story. Ask the kids questions about it. Sing a hymn, a good Lutheran hymn. Teach the kid the Lutheran chorals around the dinner table. And here's another thing. The phone rings. And they answer the phone. They say, sorry, we're having devotions. Call back in 15 minutes. And you just don't let anybody butt into that. You stake out that time and you do it. And then either mom or dad, depending on who's able to do it, you know, have a Bible story when you put the kids to bed. But you really have to set aside the time and don't let anybody take it away from you, because they'll try, you know. And you just regularly go through a catechetically based devotion and singing, and it's fun. It really is. You don't have to be a pastor. People think, oh, you have to know all sorts of theology to do this. That's just not so. You just get into the habit of talking the faith to your kids around the dinner table.
Talk about the importance of the relationship between a Christian father and his pastor, and especially what that Christian father's children see in that relationship.
I think that the pastor of the Christian father, if he can let his kids know that you don't respect the pastor because of his own personal piety or work or whatever, but you respect the office because this is the office that Jesus has established, that the kids would learn from their dad what the pastor is there for, that they can trust him. And of course, the father will show that. And then on the other side, of the pastor towards the father, it's important that the pastor encourage the father of children to do what God's given him to do. For example, we all have to listen to memory work. I visit with the parents before the kid joins the class, and I say, I'm asking you to listen to their memory work. I want you to help here because this is your responsibility. Just a good working relationship between pastor and parents. The kids will see that, and it helps to bond home and church.
You say this about Christian fathers who refuse to attend divine service. You say, when a man who refuses to attend divine service tells you that he will not go because he was required to go as a child, he is not telling you the truth. What do you mean by that, Rolf?
Well, there are a lot of things that we're required to do as children that's how you learn. I recall once, I told my dad I didn't have to go to church if I didn't want to, and he agreed. And he said he didn't have to feed me if he didn't want to. I'll never forget that because it's you need nourishment. You need it. And I think that is one of the many excuses that people invent that just has no validity. And it could be that the only time they ever get any kind of theological instruction is at the church, and the parents don't show any interest, and then it's like a burden instead of, you know, something that the family joyfully does. But
You also talk about fathers and mothers as icons, as images of God. What do you mean by that, Rolf?
Well, the people don't see God. You see God as he is portrayed by those whom he has set over you to teach you. And you look at your father, and he is the one who teaches you of God. So he is an icon, a picture of God. We talk about, for example, Mary. We talk about her as an icon of the church, a picture of the church. I say that every Christian mother is a picture of the church in faith, submission to God, and just the faith that she expresses. Both father and mother are pictures of God and his church.
We started our conversation discussing that term patriarchy, about how it has a negative connotation, but for Christians ought not to. But of course, there are kinds of patriarchy that are harmful and abusive. You say that a patriarchy without Christ is poison. What do you mean by that?
It's poison because the love of the Father, the forgiveness, the grace of God in Christ, if you take away the forgiveness of sins, you take away the sacrifice of Jesus that stills God's anger, you take that away, and you have this almighty God, but there's no grace, there's no forgiveness. He is one mean, cruel guy. I mean, you got to run away from him. And that's what patriarchy without Christ is. It's just the Father's bigger and stronger and can just bully his way around. And that is poison, because there's no mercy, there's no grace. And the only way that God can capture our hearts so that we love him and trust in him is by the gospel, is by the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ. And that's why dad has to teach that to his kids. And not only that, forgive them for what they do. Don't put them on trial. Forgive them. And I would also say to acknowledge to them when he's done wrong, so that they know he depends on grace as much as they depend on grace. Then the gospel assumes a position in the home that defines God. But you take all that out, and then fatherhood is what? I'm the boss. You just do as I say, because I'm bigger than you and stronger than you.
Of feminism, you write this, Pastor Preuss, you say, there is an underlying assumption of feminism that needs to be examined. If this assumption is left unexamined, the feminist movement can quickly undermine sound doctrine. The assumption is that we can measure a human being by such concepts as social, political, and economic equality. Explain that, if you would.
Thank you for asking that question, because I really think that this is the critical issue, is that a human being has a value that humanity cannot measure. We measure things by our senses, what we see, what we touch, what you can, you know, how much of it you've got. And so we reduce the human being to this measurable commodity. Well, by that logic, you could measure the value of a child against the value of an automobile. And it is a dehumanizing approach. But whereas God values us according to his, he makes us in his image. He redeems us by the blood of Jesus, so that the value of a human being is so much greater than any kind of a social, economic, whatever measurement. And then whether you're small and helpless, or whether you're old and feeble or in the prime of life, you always retain that value that God places on you. And that lifts up a respect for humanity, not for its own sake, but for the sake of the God who created us.
You say that Christians who want to flirt with feminism are faced with very difficult contradictions. They may think that feminism agrees with the Christian faith. How would you warn them?
I would say, why don't you read what the feminists have written and look at their underlying assumptions. And if people bring up issues like laws that discriminated against women where they couldn't inherit property, or, you know, I'm sure there are lots of bad laws that have been passed over the years that a reasonable person would disagree with. But I'd say don't let the commonsensical things that you would agree with a feminist about change, detract you from how do they define issues, what are the basic presuppositions of their philosophy. And I really think if you look at the feminist dogma, you will see it as a primarily political doctrine that then comes into the church and the home from the outside. Whereas our view of man, woman, father, mother, family, we don't derive this from a political ideology. We derive this from the word of God. And Christians want to be governed by the word of God, and instead of some kind of a political creed that wants to impose something upon us. I think people have a hard time with this because they don't look beneath the surface, and they just, a lot of the things that the feminists will say will make perfect sense. But just scratch a little bit beneath the surface and see what it is they're promoting.
Finally then, Rolf, with about 30 seconds here, with decades as a father and as a grandfather, if you would, reflect on the joy that is found in the vocation of fatherhood. About 30 seconds.
Well, I can't put into words the joy I have. Our youngest was just married a few weeks ago. I've got all 12 kids married to faithful Christian spouses. I've got 8 sons who are pastors. I've got 11 of our kids are boys, and one is girl, a pious Christian daughter. And I tell you, young folks that are having kids, you look down past your life and you look at what God gives you as you're reaching an older age, and you just thank God, just thank Him for blessing me and my wife with all these children. It's just, I can't put into words how wealthy God has made me.
Pastor Rolf Preuss is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Sidney, Montana, and St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview, Montana. He is father of 12 children and 51 grandchildren. Pastor Preuss, happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
When we come back, we're going to be spending some time with Terry Mattingly. There's been a lot of media coverage of the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Dallas over the last 2 days. The big questions had to do with how that gathering of Baptists were going to deal with the Me Too movement, what kind of symbolic gesture they might make in electing a new president for the next year, and of course some other things that they needed to talk about as a gathering of Baptist Americans. We'll talk about the Southern Baptist Convention, not a denomination but a convention, with Terry Mattingly right after this.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.